Welcome this morning to the Risen Life service, where we are intentional about educating you with what you have as a child of God and empowering you to be the army of God. I want to open with prayer, and then we'll dive into the word that God has given me for this day. Father, we thank you for your bountiful mercies this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we are here within our right minds and good health, Father Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have kept us through another week. Lord, I pray for those that have suffered at the hand of a mighty storm that come through, Father. I pray your blessings upon them. I thank you for their protections, Lord, and I pray for a renewed strength in this time of trouble, Lord. Bless them and keep them. Give them hope, Lord Jesus, I pray. Father, I bind and rebuke the enemy that may be trying to seethe in this area, in this building today with these people. In the name of Jesus, I stand on power and authority of Jesus Christ, and I bind and rebuke you. What is bound here on earth is bound in heaven. Father, I thank you for the authority in the name of Jesus that I stand upon this solid rock. Lord, you have your way in this service. I submit myself as a vessel to you, that each and everything that is done according to your will to bring glory and edification to you, Lord, and to free the people of God and those that are enslaved by the enemy. Lord, help us to be the lights that we are called to be. God, you keep your hand upon this service. Your will be done. Holy Spirit, you are invited into this place. You inhabit your people, but you inhabit this place. And let your will be done today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, today, if you want to go ahead and you can turn to Matthew 4. This will be the first set of scriptures we'll look at. Today I want to talk about, if you want to give it a title, we can call it desert or desert. The wilderness. Desert or desert. A lot of us choose desert. I'm telling you, I like a little sweet in my life. But when it comes to your spiritual walk, you have this choice as well. We have many choices in our lives, especially the lives of those who choose to be the disciples of Jesus. We can choose to grow. We can choose not to grow. We can choose to mature or to be immature in our faith. We have free will to choose. We can be obedient. We can be disobedient. We have free will to choose to follow the guiding of the Holy Spirit into all truths, or we can choose to take our own paths. Do you see a difference between desert and desert yet? I want to talk about one such experience that we will all endure. And sometimes you'll endure it more than once. But it's a choice we must all choose in our Christian walk at one time or another. Is do you choose the desert, the wilderness, or do you choose the desert? The wilderness and desert in the Bible, they have the same meaning. They mean a place of solitude, a place of desert, a place of desolate, a place of lonesome. It's a wilderness. It's a wilderness. These are the times in your spiritual walk where the presence of God seems to be absent. And not by your own choice. There are times that we choose to be absent from him. But this is a wilderness experience that you have been led into by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Even people who normally pour into you spiritually, they are present. They are absent. They are busy. It just doesn't seem to be hitting it right. You could say you feel a spiritual dryness. Anybody been there? I have. I've been there. What even the things that used to fill you up no longer satisfy? Just that little scripture that pops up every day is not getting it. There's a reason for it. We must either choose the following and leading of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness or the desert, or we must refuse it and choose the desert. What's the desert? It's total avoidance. It is failure to endure the wilderness. Some people get in and back out. We choose dessert halfway through. It's too painful. I can't do this. And then we back out. We choose the easy path. That's dessert, the easy path. You may be sitting there trying to figure out, just what do I mean? So let's look at Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's our Savior. He's our Lord, or He should be Lord over our lives. And He's the one who we are to pattern our lives and our minds after. He not only endured the wilderness experience in several areas, several times in His life, but He was very victorious in the wilderness so that you and I could also be the victorious. So Matthew 4, 1 through 3, and I will not read all of this. We are very familiar with the story. He was baptized. The dove appeared, signifying the Holy Spirit. God the Father spoke, said, "This is my Son, who I'm well pleased in." And then you see in verse that then when Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, "If thou be the Son of Man, command these stones be made of bread." I'm going to start there. You all know the whole story, or you should. If you have questions, get with me later. But I want you to see that He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. This is ordained by God. I remember the first time I experienced it. All the things. I used to wake up with all this stuff rolling in my head. And I still do. But there was a time in my life when it wasn't that way. I felt I was alone. I couldn't feel God like I had before. I was unsure of what was going on. So I'm going to preach to you from some of my experiences. This is necessary. I want to tell you right now, it's a necessary part of your walk, and we'll explain to you why. But I want you to know it is necessary. If Jesus went through it, it is necessary for you to go through it. Paul would always say, you know, if I'm going to live for Christ, I'm going to have to die like Christ died. Not so much in the physical sense, but in the spiritual as well. If you want to live for Christ, you've got to learn to die like Christ died. It is a time of submitting of the flesh of your body. It's a time of fasting, so that it is a time of setting apart for Him. It's a spiritual dependence on God time and Him alone. Him alone. I remember being in the shower crying. He told me, He says, "Are you going to follow man or are you going to follow me? It's time to choose. Just because this man goes this way and this man goes that way, you got to go the path that I have chose for you, Sonia. It's your choice, though. Do you want to keep following them? Or do you want to walk in my power, my authority, and my will for your life?" That is what the wilderness is about. It's a surrender. He woke me up the other day, and he said, "It's like a newlywed couple on their honeymoon." And I was like, "Oh, gosh." Nothing about it do I remember being like a honeymoon, the wilderness time. I still don't. But it's time alone with Him. And you will find you can't draw from other people. I don't care how much you love that husband of yours. He can't fix it for you. Pastor can't fix it for you. First lady can't fix it for you. I can't fix it for you. It's what you have to do yourself. Do you remember the scripture that says a man should leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one? This is where you're at spiritually. It's a consummation, not a sexual consummation. It's a consummation means to a perfection. It's a wholeness. It's like, are you going to choose me? It's a foundation to your relationship with God. It's the strength that you will draw on in the good times and all the bad times. If you don't go through the wilderness, you will not have these things. It is a getting to know Him one-on-one. Remember your honeymoon? If you were blessed to have one, it was just you and Him, right? No distractions. You could concentrate only on each other, setting a foundation for your relationship, your whole life. A trust, ability to rely upon and believe in the person that you chose or God chose for you to be the leader of your household, the one that you would walk together into whatever situation in life comes for you. A time of abiding in Him and seeking His presence, just you and Him. No one else can go there with you. You can't bring anybody with you. Everybody in the Bible had a desert time. The disciples had one, Mark 6, 30 through 32. And the disciples gathered together unto Jesus and told Him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And He said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Here we have Jesus calling His disciples to a desert place privately for rest and even the ability to feed, to eat, to nourish themselves. Does it sound familiar? This is a great example of desert time with Him, to rest and to feed. What do we eat in those times? Yes, I know you're going to feed your body the natural food, but what was the Bible said, Matthew 4:4? It says, but He answered and said unto Him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In the desert, you have got to draw nigh to Him. You do that through the Word of God. You study it. You read it. You live it. You speak it. You talk it. You sing it. Keep it on your mind. These are the ways that you can defend yourself and live and be victorious in your life from day forward, from that day forward. You've got to feed yourself the Word of God. You've got to feed yourself the presence of God. Without that, you won't have a leg to stand on, as they say. Doesn't that sound familiar? That was the first temptation that Jesus was tempted with. The tempter came, in particular, asked Him to turn the bread, the stone, to bread. And Jesus' response was that. Notice also, we must learn in these times to rest in Jesus, not away from Him. A lot of us take that mistake. We're just going to take a little sabbatical. And we walk away from God. Period. Do our own things. We're choosing dessert instead of the desert. What does that mean? We are to put all our hope and fix our time and attention upon Him. Remember the honeymoon thing? Okay. I'm not saying that you cannot participate in your day-to-day life. You're going to be living life. All the glory of it. But I'm saying spend more time with Him when you're in the desert. Than you have before. Be intentional about it. Since you are spiritually in a desert, in a wilderness, not in physically, He is your source of whatever you need. This is why most Christians fail. They don't want to endure the desert or they fail to spend the time abiding in Him and His Word, and they soon fall prey to the enemy. That's why when I leave here, I'm not here with you physically. I am here with you spiritually. I am on that phone listening to the services. I am on that phone praising and worshiping with you. I am staying connected to my body of people, my church, because I understand how the enemy can sneak in. And it becomes easy to step away just a little at a time. When you're in the desert, if you won't survive without Him. When we feed on the Word and abide in His presence, we learn to be strengthened by Him. This is what a lot of Christians fail. They don't have the strength to endure the enemy, the attack of the enemy, more or less their own flesh, because they have not endured the wilderness time. And they've chosen desert. This is why we used to call the saints of old, this is why they walked in power and authority and strength, is because they were seasoned saints. Seasoned. They had been, you see that, hear that word, see? They had been through some stuff. Seasoned. They have gone through and come out of, they've come through it. What have they come through? They've come through the deserts and the wilderness so they can endure the storms of life, the darts of the enemy. Paul had desert time. Galatians 1, 17 and 18. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. This is after his conversion. But I went into Arabia. It actually was a desert. Arabia. And returned again into Damascus. So he spent time in Arabia, which was basically just a desert at that time. And then he went back to the Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Paul had his wilderness time on his road to after his conversion on his road to Damascus. He was going there to kill the saints, to enslave them. Jesus had a bigger plan for his life. He could have chose a different life. Spent time in the desert before returning to Damascus. He was learning. You know, what was he learning? He was not only learning the Lord and Savior Jesus, but he was learning that the law that he was so well educated in was nothing compared to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 3, 7 and 9. But when things, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. That's what he spent his whole life. He's got some great credentials if you read them. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. What was Paul doing in the wilderness? He was being molded. He was being shaped. You know, he had all this head knowledge, but God put it into him, the truth of it all, Jesus Christ. He spent time in the potter's hands. That's the other thing the wilderness does. It molds and it shapes you. Desert time, if we allow it, gives God the chance to remove all things that are not needed in our lives and then put more of Him. Paul was a very educated man. He was highly educated, a Roman citizen. He had it all. And he finds the truth on the road to Damascus. Do you know why that happened? So Paul could preach and teach not only to every man, but to those who were well educated in the law as well. He was able to connect Jesus to what they knew and understood. He was able to bring the good news to people that thought they were just as well put together as he was. But he had to go through the desert time, the wilderness time. God was removing everything, that every connection And he does this to you, every connection. He will reveal things to you about people that you have loved your whole life, and you're seeing a serpent in your face and didn't even realize it. You will see the dangers of those connections, but you have got to be willing to let it go. He will reveal your own heart in these times. If you stay in the Word and abide with Him and listen to Him, He will reveal this to you. You are spending time in the potter's hand. This is why He cuts the connection even from your pastors. Because He doesn't want you to run to them every time something goes wrong. He wants you to run to Him. He is the only one that can fix it. He is the only one that can get you through it. I may not answer the phone. I may be going through some stuff of myself. But if you run to the source, it will never be dry. It will never be dry. In our minds and our thinking and action, He is in putting more of Himself into it. We find out very quickly, He is all we need. If you go through it, not anything in this world, nothing this world has to offer, nothing that anyone can give you matters. It's just Him. I have two examples I want to describe to you before I close, and I know my time is drawn near, of what the experience is like. Matthew 6:41. This is a very familiar story. Jesus feeds the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes. But I want you to notice in 41 what He did. He takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and He looks up to heaven, and He blessed it, and He broke the loaves, and He gave it to them, His disciples, to set before the people. And He did the same thing with the fishes. Notice He didn't give it directly to the people. He gave it back to the disciples. He said, "Now you go and feed them." In the wilderness, there is a breaking. In the desert, there is a breaking. It's a breaking of yourself, breaking of who your source is, breaking of your flesh, a breaking down of your desire to be anything but what He wants you to be. They were in a desert place when Jesus turns around and looks at the disciples and He says, "You feed them. Go ahead, you feed them." Oh, and the disciples spoke up and said, "What? We got 2 of these things, you know, talking about money. How's that going to feed all these people?" I had one pastor that I listened to. He said he asked the wrong question. The right question would have been, "Lord, what are you going to do about it? Here's what I got." That's what the desert's about. Here's all that I am. All that I am. Take me. Bless me, break me, and let me feed the masses for you. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Our desert time is a time of blessing, if you can look at it that way. It is. And a breaking, the time of molding and shaping and removing everyone and everything so that you can just see Him and know that He is who He says He is. Nothing that you have, nothing of yours, not your house, not your title, not your stuff, not your job, not your car, not your friends, not your family, not your name, not your whatever it is. It is not enough to get you through this life. Only Jesus is. You learn He is all you need. This is all I have, God. It's no shock to Him. He knows what you are. He knows where you came from. He knows what He put in you to be. But I have free will. I've got to choose the breaking. I've got to choose it. If we look at our wilderness time in this way, it's easier to endure. It will become easier. But I'm not going to say that every day you won't remind yourself of that. I'm being broken to be a blessing. I'm being broken to be a blessing. I'm being broken to be a blessing. You got to want it. The second thing that the wilderness does is endurance. Matthew 6:45-48. Jesus had preached. He had fed them. He constrained the disciples to get on a boat and go across. And then he went up. He departed to the mountain to pray. He sent them to Bethsheba. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. He's up there watching them, and it says, and he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he comes unto them walking upon the sea. And I love this part. It says he would have passed them by. Desert wilderness time is a time of testing our faith. It's an endurance. This is where the strengthening comes from. Jesus sent them across the lake, but notice he saw them toiling. You feel like you're alone in these times, but he is always close and he's always watching. Remember, you have free will. You can choose him or you can choose desert. You are never without him. Never without him. Do you know the reason why he didn't pass them by? Is because they cried out. So he went to them immediately. You know what God told me? A lot of people, you're in that situation, you're in the boat, and he keeps trying to come to your rescue, and you keep pushing him away. I got this. I can do this on my own. I know I'm scared to death, but I don't need your help. Endurance. Breaking and endurance. The wilderness, it's not fun. It's not. I remember getting up some mornings going, God, where are you? I can't feel you like I used to. I didn't realize that that was my time to draw near to him and spend at his feet and listen to him and study and learn. It took me a little bit. I'm not as bright as I think I am sometimes. So I'm trying to help you get through it a little better. I'm breaking for the blessing. I'm breaking because I'm being a blessing. I'm breaking because I can be a blessing. Today, you have a choice. Are you going to take the wilderness? Are you going to take the desert time? The disciples and Jesus was in the desert a lot, praying, spending time with the Father. But he gave us insight into the first one so that we would understand how we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to stand in those times. Are you going to choose the molding and the shaping of the potter's hand? Are you going to learn to be strengthened by God and God alone? No one else is for you, but God stands with you. You're going to need that. Are you going to choose the desert? Are you going to keep eating dessert? The choice is yours. The choice is yours. You have free will. Father, I thank you for the words that you have given this servant of yours, and I pray, Father, your blessing upon it. I know the word says that it will not come back to you void, and I claim the victory of Jesus in that. That our hearts would be enlarged, and the word will take root and grow and mature, and that this army of God will stand bold and strong even in the days to come. Even in the wilderness, even in the long time, when we feel desolate, we are assured that you are always with us. Give us the knowledge and the strength to draw nigh unto you, to make the time to be the people of God that you have called us to be. I give you praise, I give you glory for the word of God, for it is our sword. And I pray it in the name above every name. In the name of Jesus, amen.